Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
For you, my friend, as we sit down here at the 9-foot homemade oak bar, do you think spring training meant more to evaluators and to managers? Because in reality, it was just a little bit shorter than the regular season last year. Like if a guy had a terrible regular season but looked good in spring training, it probably carried a little bit more weight than it would in normal years when you're like, well, it's just spring training, it doesn't matter. With a small sample size in 2020, a lot of guys you didn't even really get to see as a manager because there were so many guys that were separated from your team, so many young guys didn't get a chance to be looked at, and with the Pirates, so many new guys to your roster, this meant a lot this period of time to figure out who they were going to be bringing to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it definitely did, and we saw that especially, you know, recently with, you know, Todd Frazier basically being told, dude, you're not making the cut, you're not making the team, and him opting out and the Pirates, you know, giving him his release because Philip Evans showed that he can play third base, first base. He can also play a little bit of outfield and he hit pretty decent and he's about 7 years younger.
What good is Todd Frazier to you in a rebuild? No matter how well he did, unless of course, like you were just like, oh, Colin Moran, I just can't stand him at first base. I'm going to put Frazier there. Or Brian Hayes gets injured. And you're like, well, we can have Frazier go for a couple of months. And he's going to have a hard time catching on someplace. I don't think he's caught on anywhere yet.
No, and it was just announced that the Pirates said that they are, you know, keeping in touch with him just because, just in case he doesn't catch on, they wouldn't mind bringing him in at some point if there would be a trade, if there would be an injury, if there would be anything. If anything happens, you wouldn't mind, you know, keeping in touch with that guy. And for him, I mean, I can kind of see that you don't want to sit down there. I guess our alternate sites are going to be PNC Park when the Pirates aren't there. I think it's Pitt's Stadium, and they're going to have their lockers at Heinz Field. So if you're Todd Frazier, do you really want to put up with that crap, you know, for a couple months just to see? So, I mean, yeah, here's the thing is Todd Frazier did absolutely nothing wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He got a little bit of back tightness. He hit pretty well.
That's what he did wrong right there. He got back tightness. You're a team in a rebuild, and you're like, well, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a good teammate. His back's already bothering him. He's old. And we're going to go with the younger guy because the younger guy showed us something. I mean, I get it, and it makes total sense. Look, what the Pirates are doing here constructing their team is not to win a World Series in 2021. That's not the plan. The plan is to evaluate talent, put together the best core that you can, and don't be turning around a couple of years from now going, man, we really should have given so-and-so a chance, but when we didn't give him a chance, he slipped through our organization, and now he's doing well for somebody else when we could actually use him. And Todd Frazier isn't going to be that guy because he ain't going to be playing baseball when this team is good, realistically.
Yeah.
But you have other players that will be playing baseball, and you haven't seen enough out of them, and you want to see what happens when they get out there and they get to play 162. Or whatever they're going to end up getting to play as they're coming off the bench. So it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I get it. Were there any surprises to you? You know, I know as we sit down tonight, putting this together for Tuesday morning release, it's not official yet, everything, but let's go through some of the things that we've heard about who's going to be on the final 26-man, and if any of them, like, you know, stick out to you as weird or unexpected or you have a problem with it. Like, let's talk about the backup catcher. Who ends up getting it?
It looks like right now that they're going to go. It was kind of announced, and Jason Mackey came on from the PG. It was one of the first ones I saw that was saying that, you know, they're announcing that Michael Perez is going to be the backup catcher, which we were wondering, you know, if he had options, would they try to send him down, you know, keep Tony Walters? But you know what? Like, Perez played pretty well. Walters played pretty well. And if you don't want to, you know, put somebody on waivers or put them out there where they could be picked up, you know what? It's more of, hey, let's just keep Perez because he looked like Tony Walters.
With a rebuilding team, youth wins. Tie goes to the youth. Anytime you have a rebuilding team, tie goes to the youth. Like, if Walters would have gone out there and done great, and Perez would have looked terrible, trust me, Walters would have been the backup catcher. Or if they both would have been terrible, then they probably would have. They might be going out there right now getting Jonathan Lucroy, who just hit the waiver wire and hit 333 in the spring. There's another guy who was a veteran that was brought into a camp, but the young guys that were competing against him all did well, so there was no room for him on his minor league deal, and he's floating out there. There's some interesting names that are floating out there. That wouldn't be a bad name for the Pirates, except for the fact that, again, that's an older guy towards the end of his career. If you like what Perez is doing, you stick with him. And that's how a lot of Major League Baseball careers end. It's not because a guy couldn't go out there for one more season. It's just there's a young guy that's doing exactly what he does now. And teams that are trying to go for youth because they're planning for the future are going to take the younger guy, the more controllable guy. The guy that might have a ceiling that's higher because you've already seen the best out of that guy. He's on his decline. And this other person might still be on the way up.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I mean, before the show, we were just talking a little bit, Chris, and we talked, you know, about the whole thing with, you know, we knew that Anthony Alford, center field, was kind of like his job to lose.
That was a given.
They brought in, you know, Brian Goodwin, as we talked about before, the measuring stick to see, you know, hey, I'm going to look at him against this guy. Brian Goodwin didn't look very good. You know, Dustin Fowler, who we brought in, looked pretty good on defense. I was struggling at the plate a little bit, but showed some pop at times. So once again, like you said, youth wins. So it'd be like, you know what? We're going to give Dustin Fowler and Anthony Alford, two guys who were both, you know, top 100 prospects in all of Major League Baseball at some point, that somebody thought they were pretty decent, and we're going to give them a decent amount of playing time here, and we're going to see if there's anything there. And the other part you talked about, Chris, is even with like age and different stuff, like we were talking about with Todd Frazier and then Phillip Evans winning, people will say, well, you know, Phillip Evans is like 28 years old, but he has a lot more control. He has a lot more years and a lot more time. Some guys don't blossom or bloom or show up on the scene until they're 27 or 28. So am I saying Phillip Evans is going to be, you know, the greatest thing in the world? No, but if you decide to trade, you know, like Adam Frazier or something, and the same reason you keep Eric Gonzalez, like Cole Tucker got sent down. So you have all these guys that if other people get traded, the drop off is really not that far, and you got a lot of versatile players that can play a decent amount of, you know, positions. If Gregory Polanco comes out there and just starts stinking up the place, then you may see, you know, Phillip Evans out there in right field a little bit more. You might see Fowler out there in right field a little bit more. I feel like that Cherington has done a very good job of building depth within this team where there isn't a lot of drop-off from, say, the number 24 player on your team. And I would even go down to probably, you know, down to, like, anybody that's on the 40, man.
How embarrassing is that for your boy Cole Tucker? Because that guy, since the last time we talked, gets sent to AAA. And here's a guy with all the hype, with the hair, with the girlfriend, with the appearances on MLB Network, and he can't make this team. And he did not make this team because they're trying to save time with Cole Tucker. Like, they're not manipulating things with Cole Tucker. He's not good enough to be on the team.
And that's what would have happened last year, I believe, if, you know, they wouldn't have had, you know, Corona and the expanded rosters and looking for somebody to play center field. He didn't make the team last time. He got cut, you know, before the season was put completely on hold. He was, like, you know, optioned down to AAA, and the same thing happened this year. And people, I wish he wasn't injured at all during this spring training, because the Cole Tucker fans or the Cole Tucker believers will be like, well, he had a thumb contusion. So, you know, he didn't get as much of a shot as everybody else. And I'm like,
he had a tummy ache.
and I'm just thinking to myself, he once again got beat out by Eric Gonzalez.
Right.
That's the bad thing. And once again, I'm not trying to say, I'm not buying the Eric Gonzalez fool's gold because he roped a home run today and hit like 300 and something in spring training. The dude plays good defense, which I believe Cole Tucker can do, but he's at least shown in glimpses during his major league career that he can hit like a major leaguer. Cole Tucker hit a home run in his first game, and since then, I have not seen anything that shows me that he has the power, the pop, the consistency, or anything to even be streaky, to even, you know, put together a hot streak in the major leagues. Eric Gonzalez proved that last year that he does have that potential. And if the hot streaks continue a little bit more and the cold streaks, you know, get a little bit shorter, you know, Eric Gonzalez isn't a terrible baseball player. He's probably, you know, a little bit above replacement level. But if he is beating you out on the team, that says something about you. It doesn't say anything about Eric Gonzalez. And that's where we're at with this team. If you didn't make this team, there are instances where, you know, you just weren't good enough. I mean, there was a bunch of guys in the bullpen. Nobody pitched poorly, but it came down to who's on the 40-man, who has options, who can we get to stick around in the alternate site. So, I mean, there are times where it's like, okay, we didn't do anything wrong and you still got option down. But Cole Tucker, that's not one of them. Brian Goodwin, that's definitely not one of them. And, you know, in other instances with Tony Walters and Michael Perez, like we said earlier, Chris, it came down to you guys played pretty much about the same. This guy's a little bit younger. We're going to give him the shot.
Look, I don't want to make the whole show about Cole Tucker, but yeah, I do want to confess this to people. I make fun of Craig about Cole Tucker. Like, I send text messages from time to time, your boy Cole Tucker, because he doesn't show the promise that I think some people believe that he has. If you're the Pirates and you're in a rebuild right now, Cole Tucker should have been on this team. He should be on this team over Eric Gonzalez. Eric Gonzalez is going into his year 29 season. He's had 5 years of Major League Baseball, and he's never had an OPS plus over 82. 100 is the median. That means he's below average in his production at the plate every single year. And in his 2 years with the Pirates, an OPS plus of 63 and 64. That's brutal. That's
terrible.
That's a guy who's got a batting average over the last 2 years. Let's see here. 2019, 254. And in 2020, in the shortened season, 227. His on-base percentage was just over 300 in 2019. He had a 255 on-base percentage last year, over 193 plate appearances, and just barely over a 600 OPS. He's a terrible player at the plate. And if you're going to say Cole Tucker is a defensive star and Eric Gonzalez is more defense, then if they're even, Cole Tucker needs to do better than that. But Cole Tucker hasn't done that. He had 116 plate appearances in the shortened season. His on-base percentage was 252. In fact, he makes Eric Gonzalez look better when you line up the stats. The Pirates want to give Cole Tucker the job. He won't take it. You talked about the measuring stick with Goodwin out in the outfield. Anthony Alford at least took it. It was there for him. They said, Anthony, we want you to be the center fielder, but he at least went out and took it. Cole Tucker didn't take anything. And I'm going to tell you, he's not a rookie anymore. He doesn't sit on your prospect list. He's already had too many appearances in Major League Baseball games. He's a guy who came up, hasn't put it together in limited action over the last 2 years, and is back at AAA. And for all the excitement that he gets, and he gets this national media attention, it's hysterical to see him on MLB Network. And I'm like, there are other guys you could be talking to who I think that are Pirates prospects that are more exciting to me than Cole Tucker. Guess what? Nick Gonzalez is more exciting to me than Cole Tucker right now.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, there's Cole Tucker, like, he, once he got set down, it's not like he even got mentioned, because you had, you know, Leiva Pagero showed up at, you know, finally his visa cleared or whatever it was, and he popped into a couple games, you know, roped a double, hit it hard, and they're just like, okay, there's our shortstop of the future now. So, I mean, Cole Tucker,
here, I'll ask you this question, Craig. If right now the Pirates made a trade And included in the package was one of these four middle infielders. Which one would upset you the most, and which one would upset you the least if they left the Pirates organization tomorrow? Nick Gonzalez, O'Neill Cruz, Pagero, or Tucker?
I would probably say Nick Gonzalez would bother me the most, then Pagero, then Cruz, and then Tucker.
There you go. Look, the guy's got the hair, the guy's got the famous girlfriend. I don't know if the guy's a major leaguer. And he should be the most embarrassed member of the Pittsburgh Pirates organization right now. That kid's got to figure out his life quickly, or he's going to be forgotten. And that's weird for a kid that's in it, hasn't even hit 25 yet. But yeah, he's got too much competition around him in a rebuilding organization that does not have time to sit around and wait on him when there are other people that are high prospects that are waiting to make this team and that are going to eventually make this team. And so he's got to figure it out. He's got to figure it out quick. And he's got to get down to Indianapolis and just start ripping the cover off the frickin' ball. He's got to become something different than what he is right now. And I don't know if he can do it. I mean, look, like I said, you put measuring sticks out there. We said this a month ago with Gonzalez. He was a measuring stick that Tucker had to prove he was better than. Hell, he was a measuring stick for Kevin Newman to prove he was better than. And the same thing with Goodwin out in the outfield. He was a measuring stick. Okay, some guys measured up and some guys didn't. But that was a low bar that was set. If you can't get over that low bar, man, you're in trouble. Your career's in trouble at this point. And I'm not interested in you until you do something that blows my socks off. You get another opportunity in the majors, and then you're not getting 2-3 weeks to get going. You better show up and be hitting on opening weekend. Like, if somebody gets hurt or they decide to bring you up on a Thursday, you better have 2 home runs and a couple of RBIs by Monday morning. Otherwise, I'm not impressed by you. And you won't last very long because I don't think the Pirates are tied to you anymore. Ben Cherington is not tied to Cole Tucker. He'd much rather see one of the guys he brought in actually do well.
Yeah, and like we said, Chris, I feel like that he wanted to give Cole Tucker that opportunity to succeed, especially last year. I knew he was learning like the new position, but it's not like he was learning to hit.
It's center field. You know? It's center field. Look, in the outfield, every middle infield prospect that doesn't make it defensively moves out to the outfield. That's a defensive thing. It's actually easier to send you to the outfield if you're a middle infielder. They've been doing that forever. Major League Baseball is littered with guys that came in as a shortstop and then eventually became an outfielder. They're everywhere. Or they were a shortstop and they become a second baseman. Or they're a shortstop and they become a third baseman. They're everywhere. So, look, that shouldn't affect him being at the plate. You're right. He should have been able to hit. Can't hit. Kid can't hit. Hey, gang. Ever wonder what it's like to be a small business owner? It's confusing. Weird expenses coming out of nowhere. And when you throw in health insurance, forget it. Nobody understands how that works. If you own a business, big or small, it's one of the biggest expenses you have all year long. And yet, we all wait until open enrollment at the end of the year, and then we think to ourselves, next year I'll get a jump on it. And then it's another year of paying way too much. If you're a business owner, big or small, HR representative that wants to impress the boss, give Butch Zimar of Elite Benefits of America a call. Save yourself or your boss thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars a year. Reach out to Butch right now, 708-535-3006, or shoot him an email, butch@elitebenefits.net. And be sure to check out the Zimar podcast. Don't wait till the last minute. Put Butch Zimar to work for you now.
To tell you the truth, I mean, from the spring training, we talked about this last week, Chris, that I'm not as concerned about the hitting. I mean, people will say, you know, Todd Frazier's gone, so where are you going to find your power? And I'm like, well, I don't know how much Todd Frazier power he was going to be bringing in his age. I mean, he probably would have brought a little bit of pop to, you know, the plate. But I am more concerned right now with the starting rotation. And that's where my worries for this team, if anything breaks down, it's going to be because the starting rotation either gets lit up, can't go deep into innings, they're having to do too many piggybacks, and they're going to wear out the bullpen. Now, I know that they have a decent amount of guys that, you know, are still on the 40-man or could be on the 40-man, because it looks like at this point in time that Steven Brault might be going you know, to the 60-day IL, so they might be able to move somebody else onto the 40-man to provide a little bit more depth. But even then, I still see arms getting tired. When Chad Kuhl is your opening day starter, and I like Chad Kuhl. Like, he's a guy that I like, and I think that he has some potential. But when you have him as your opening day starter, you have Mitch Keller struggling. You know, you have Tyler Anderson thrown in there, JT Brubaker, and then Trevor Cahill, who isn't even – Trevor Cahill is not even built up beyond, like, 20-some pitches at this point in time. I know that people will say you don't have to go to the five-man rotation or whatever, and there's off days, and, you know, you could go with that four-man rotation in the beginning and stuff. But I worry. I do worry the first time that, you know, one of our starters gets absolutely lit up or just gets in a pitch count where he's not built up or is in the third inning and is thrown like 80-some pitches and isn't looking good. And then you're going to have to make up, you know, six more innings for that game and then have bullpen. You know, what if it happens 2 days in a row? I mean, it could get ugly really quick, and that's where I think it will get ugly if somebody on the starting rotation doesn't step up, and sometimes they might have to take it on the chin and just throw a bad outing, it be in there for a long time.
I also think you're looking at things in the traditional sense, and I think that with the way that arms have been acquired in this organization and the way that Charrington's just going out and getting arms, he isn't concerned whether or not the guy is going to be a starter or a relief pitcher. He's just gathering arms. This goes back to something I've been trying to push on people now for the last month or so, and I'm sure it's aggravated a few people, but Tampa Bay Rays, their starters are just kind of starters in name, most of them. Because you'll bring in an opener, the opener will do an inning or two, now the other person comes in who's like the starter, but he really starts in the third inning, and he pitches four innings, and now all of a sudden you've made it to the sixth or seventh inning, and here comes the bullpen. There's going to be a different way, I think, as to how the Pirates are going to use their pitchers this year. They're not going to come out and say it right away, and it might not happen in the opening couple of months, but I think that's something you're going to see the Pirates do an awful lot. I think that that's just the way that they're built right now. They might say, hey, let's just see if any of these guys can go. Do we have anybody that's a true starter on this team? But I don't know with the budget that you're provided by your owner every year, if you as a general manager can really march out five true starters. I don't know if you're ever going to get to the point where you have a strong team that can produce offensively, play defense, and meet the metrics that you need to meet to be able to win games consistently with your bat, and then still be able to send out there a viable bullpen, which is the key at the end when you're going to start making a postseason run, and then also be able to put five true starters out there. And if you're going to have a budget like the Rays, you're going to have to think like the Rays. So that's why I'm not sure. You might see that. You're right. I think you're going to see some ugly games. You're going to see ugly games this year. Ugly, horrible, disgusting, make you want to throw up in your mouth. Maybe you do a little bit kind of games this year. But what you got to look for is the promise. You got to look for the guys that you're saying, hey, can this guy be a major leaguer? Like, as you're sitting in the stands, you're going to sit there and say to yourself, could this guy play on the Yankees? You know, could this guy play on the Dodgers? And you're going to only identify probably about 2-3 guys. You're like, that guy might have a chance making it on that team. And the rest of those guys are really not part of your team. You're waiting to see if somebody else can develop into that guy, but you need to find as much talent that will be there in 2 to 3 years when you're ready to compete again. That will be there when Quinn Priester is taking the mound. Because that's what you're really playing for. You're playing for the possibility of eventually you see somebody like Quinn Priester standing on the mound and Brendan Malone is standing on the mound and this guy whose name I can't say, this Carmen Mazlinski guy is standing on the mound.
Carmen Linsky.
Thank you. Whatever his name is. We're going to have to trade him for a guy whose name I can pronounce. Okay? Straight up trade for another right-handed pitcher that's 22 years old. That's probably about like 10th or 11th in somebody's organization. Why are you making this trade? I just can't pronounce this guy's last name. It's driving me nuts. All right. Just give me somebody who's just like him. I don't care. All right. Does he have three pitches? This guy's got three pitches. Cool. I just want to make the trade because I can't pronounce
Chris can pronounce this guy's name. We got him. We need him. But Chris, I know what you're saying, man, because this actually kind of makes sense in my head now that you talk to it and talk me down a little bit from my fan ledge. Is that
your fan ledge is long and distinguished, and sometimes you go way out on it. You have to put this thing in the big picture, buddy.
Yeah, because last year, I do remember, like, Derek Shelton was the type of guy that he would sit down with Donnie Kelly. He was a planner, and he would plan out our lineups for, like, weeks at a time. It wasn't like he would look to see who was probably going to go on the mound. There might be some tweaks here and there, but for the most part, like, he would have his lineups, like, laid out. So he may, like, sit down with the pitching coaches, sit down with whoever, and say, okay, how far is this guy built up? Okay, he can go three innings. We'll look to plug him in this game after this person because he might fit in well after him. Or, you know what, here's two guys that we have to choose from, you know, in these upcoming games that can give us, you know, 3 to 4 innings if somebody goes down. So, I mean, I kind of can see that he, and especially with, you know, the alternate site for right now, and like you said, Sherrington just basically collecting arms, and there's still a lot of arms of guys that were, you know, optioned down to AAA that are still going to be there that can be brought up, and you can just do, like, kind of like, you know, a little flip-flop. I mean, David Bednar, he was one of the possible surprises to make the team. He absolutely deserved to make the team. The dude, like, struck out, like, 17 people and walked one in, like, it was, like, 8 or 9 innings of work. The dude absolutely deserved to make the team. But he may be a guy just because he's like, less experienced, has options, and if he would hit, like, a bump or whatever it would be, or, you know, got a little bit worn out in the beginning, they'll be like, okay, you're going down to AAA for a little bit. You're optioned down for a little bit. Just rest it up over there, you know, do some, like, side sessions, and then we'll see you back up here in, you know, a month or so. So, you know what? It's great he made the opening day roster, but this may not be the type of year where if somebody makes the opening day roster before, it could have been a little bit bigger of a deal. And I'm not David Bednar, Andy Bednar, I think that's his dad. Like, I'm not playing down what your son did or what you did. Like, if you listen to this, you probably don't. But he deserved it. But it's not like, okay, this is our roster for the entire year. Like, these are the 26 guys we're going into it with, and these are, you know, the 26 we're gonna end with at the end of the year. Which, because of injuries and stuff, we all know that that's hardly ever the case. But to me, I feel like even in this year, it's even more. It's just gonna be a little bit wackier, just because of the last year that they experienced, and, you know, nobody had to go a ton of innings. And even now, guys have been built up not maybe as much as they had been before, or, you know, not even looking at that as the goal. So I think that, you know, you're going to see some guys that are consistently out there and consistently there, but you may not see them for as long or as much as you may have seen them before. And it's actually probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing because, number one, you're saving arms. Number two, relievers by nature are inconsistent. So Cherington can, you know, talk with Shelton and maybe, you know, Glenn Sherlock, who's supposed to be kind of like the in-between guy, and saying, okay, well, is this guy feeling it? You know, what are you thinking? Okay, we can send him down for a little bit. We can bring this guy up. We'll keep his arm fresh. So it's definitely going to be a weird year. And like you said, Chris, there's going to be some ugly games. But it looks like, at least right now, I see that Ben Cherington has a better plan for injuries, for depth, and for competition than we've had in previous years. So there's definitely a lot of positives to look forward to. The record's not going to be one of them. Ugly games are going to abound at times, but I do think that there are going to be some, you know, pleasant surprises on this team, and I think that there's going to be, you know, like you said, we're watching for Cabrian Hayes, we're watching for Brian Reynolds. Hopefully Mitch Keller jumps back. How does, you know, Colin Moran perform for an entire year at first base? You know, does Kevin Newman continue to, you know, use the changes he made in his swing you know, to get back to, you know, at or near where he was in 2019. There's a ton of storylines to watch from this team, but if you're looking to watch competitive baseball, you know, game in and game out, this isn't going to be the team for you. I mean, that's just not the way this season's going to go.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but they